Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 21st of March. We are on Relationship Wednesday. We're supposed to get this huge rain here, and I was waiting for it. I planned for it. I got what we needed so I wouldn't have to go out today. And last night it was supposed to start, so I closed the window to my room and all this stuff, and it hasn't rained a drop yet. Look at how desperate we are in California for just rain. And I was so excited, and now we're probably going to get, at least where I live, about half a day of rain. So there you have it. You feel like a little kid. You know, like, oh, my God, it's going to rain all day, and you can't believe it, and it's not going to rain all day. So anyway, talk about, just disappointment all over rain. But anyway, that's okay. But today, there's a topic that I think we can't talk about enough. We just can't talk about it enough. But how to stay true to yourself in the relationships that you have. We stay true to others. We remember what we told them and we try to live up to it. But somewhere in there, we think of the us before we think of the me in a relationship because we don't want to feel selfish. But what really happens is when you don't pay attention to you, I don't care if you're at work, I don't care if you're at home, I don't care if it's with your partner. What you don't say and what you don't do that you want to do, it makes you resent what you're doing and whoever you're doing it with. Not being able to say, and I've kind of been on that theme this week, because we cannot talk about it enough. Saying, you know what, to your partner, I think we're kind of going down the wrong road right now. Well, how? Well, I think the things that we are doing aren't helping us. Well, how? Well, you know what? When you go out and you come home too late, or when you don't come home from work at all and we don't see each other for days, and I'm with the kids by myself, or when we don't share chores, then I don't have time to get the other things done. Or when you talk like that, it doesn't help us out. When you dismiss me, when I dismiss you, I don't want to do that to you. Don't let me get away with that. Just whatever it is. I'm finding out that the silliest little things that you think that you don't have to say because they're silly, or you feel bad, or you feel like, I don't want to bring that up, that's going to cause a fight. And then you don't say it. I will guarantee you, once you guys get to the boiling point, you're going to say it and it's not going to come out very nice. Because you held on to it, and now you're almost mad at them for you holding on to it. Or if at work, and you have a boss who's, you know, maybe not very nice all the time. And you hold on to that, and then one day you just want to get up and quit, but you've never had a conversation. We have found every way to take the truth that we have inside of us and we hold it hostage in our hearts because we think that the truth will ruin everything if we ever told it. But then once you say it, there is a freedom that rolls in. And you always think to yourself, why did I hold on to that? Why didn't I say something sooner? Your life deserves you to represent it. Because that's what gets lost, is here's your life. It's living on earth with no representation. Kids have adults to represent them, and they always tell their feelings, so kids have the most freedom. I don't like that, and they cry, and they run, and I want this, and they won't stop until they get it. They're the best salesmen on earth, and they don't even know it. They just fight for what they want until we beat them down so much that they stop saying what they want sometimes. Other times they beat us down, and we say, okay, finally, you know, you could do that. But we are so good at doing that to our soul. Oh, stop it. I don't need that bad. I could live without that. I could live without saying this. I don't have to be the one to say everything. Well, kind of you are. Because if you don't, who will? Who will even know? So if you think of yourself as having representation, what would you want a person to represent for you? What is the hardest thing for you to do? Is it to speak up? Is it to admit what you want? Because that's what some people treat it like, an admission. Like, you know, they couldn't say it, but then they finally like will admit, well, yeah, you know, I really did want that. And it didn't happen. And now I'm upset. Instead of saying on the front end, I would really love it if we did this. I would really love it if we can have a conversation about whatever. Because when you phrase it that way, you've added your desire on it. You've added your love on it. So how do you represent yourself? Just knowing that I can and I am the only representative I can have, which is what I was leading up to this week, especially yesterday, because I was in a relationship that I thought I can quietly fix with love, my love. But I didn't, because I went back and thought about it after the show yesterday, and I did speak up. I did say something. I just wasn't heard. And that particular kind of personality, when you interact with them, and they're good people, I have to tell you, they're not bad people, but they have the narcissistic tendencies. They might not be full-scale, full-blown, but it's hard for them as people to count you in. You're only counted in for as good as you are. And they really believe they're doing their best. I've seen it. It breaks my heart to witness it because I fully understand it. But they're very hard to live with, because you have to give up you. But I learned to represent myself there. I learned why it was so important. There's something Christ has to keep teaching me over and over again, because there's so many different shades of gray within that. I know that book, Shades of Gray, it's hard for me to say that now, but I have to. But there's so many different shades of gray within it that sometimes if it's not really too bad or too intrusive, because I realize that the people who are very hardcore narcissistic, even with the best intentions in their hearts, it's hard for, you know, they have a turnover. but they teach us something very valuable. And one of two things happen when you're around that personality, whether it's in your children, whether it's in your partner, whether it's in you, whether it's in your coworkers. Is that you learn as a result who you are. Because who you are starts bubbling up. Like, wait a minute, where did I go? And you start to identify what you want. And a lot of times, before people are aware of what's going on in that kind of a relationship, they start fighting for what they want. Fighting for who they are. My son was on a baseball team, one of the many teams he's been on to date. And they had a coach who didn't care what anybody thought, and he was the coach, the leader. And we'd never seen one like this, because normally a coach coaches baseball, but this guy was intruding on their personal lives. Rules that didn't even exist in the organization, he was imposing on the players. But you know, something very beautiful happened underneath his umbrella. The guys who normally are competing, I mean, they're competing for a spot, competing with each other, but they're friends at the same time. They became inseparable because they realized what was really important to them, and they banded together. And they stayed as a team, true to themselves in the relationship they had with their coach. That was the one time my son was on the team, on a team where they really felt that brotherhood. They really felt it. They were solid. They told each other the truth. They talked about how they felt, which, you know, doesn't happen very much, because it's like, you know, your game every day you're running, you're doing what you're doing, you're conditioning. You know, there isn't downtime until, you know, whenever there's not a game, and that might be 2 or 3 hours a day, and that's usually them eating together. But they had so much to discuss, because there was so much that wasn't okay around them, that they got to know each other. They got to know the truth of each other as they themselves were discovering it in themselves. And the truth bonds us. Take that into your relationship. Let's take that into a conversation you have with yourself. When you have a truth inside of you and you listen to what you're thinking, what happens? You bond with yourself. You feel like, wow, if something happens to me, I can take care of it. I can say something. I can defend myself. I can represent myself. All that just floods in. And if you don't, the language you say is, I never get what I want. I never do what I want. I never have time. It's because of my husband. It's because of my kids. It's because of my job. It's because of money. It's because, and you go on and on and on with the excuse buffet. All because you didn't represent yourself. That's what it does to us. Two different languages, two different energies. When I was saying the excuses, I was like getting labored just saying it. And being true to yourself doesn't mean you have to cram yourself down somebody else's throat or tell them how you feel and they better understand and all of that. That's not being true to yourself. That's being aggressive. Being true to yourself is quiet. It's a strength. It's knowing that, hey, you know what? That wasn't okay. And I said something. And when I said it, gosh, that wasn't so scary. Geez, I could do that again. Not that I'm waiting for the opportunity, but I could do it again if I need it. Wow, I have that forever now. When there's a purity to our love for ourselves, when we're not doing it to show anybody anything, we're doing it to relieve ourselves of something that burdened us, or that made us feel heavy, or made us feel stuck, or made us feel like we didn't know how to take care of ourselves. Then we start to feel that power. There's a power. And opposite of popular belief, power is very quiet. Strength is very quiet. All the other stuff is what's noisy. Anger is noisy. Fear, doubt, and worry are very noisy. Think about that. When we hear people screaming, when we hear people arguing, sometimes by mistake, and we get really uncomfortable when you hear it or it starts happening because they're so used to it that them doing it in public isn't even an issue. All that, what is the first thing you think? Wow, they've got a long way to go of learning. Still pretty early on in the stages of just realizing who they are. Realization of some kind. It's really interesting when you pass something, how easy it is to see it. But until you try it, you can't pass. You can't pass go. And if there's things you're holding in that you can't say, and the other person doesn't know it, they won't understand why they feel distant from you, but they're going to feel distant from you. Because that energy creates a wedge between the two of you. What isn't said is just as big as what is said. That's why couples who just go along in life and they just discuss things as they go on, they never feel that wedge in energy or that feeling like something's going to break at some point. They don't feel that. And I know people who don't feel it. And when you're around a couple where both people are pretty true to themselves, you realize there's no other way you want to be with anybody. How to stay true to yourself is to force the first conversation so that you know you will live to tell about it. And then tell about it. Hey, this is me. I knew you'd understand. Let the people know that are in your life that you appreciate the fact that your love was strong enough, healthy enough, for the two of you to have the kind of conversations that allow you to be you. Because no one can hide for long. You know, you always hear those stories of, God, when we first met, she was so nice. Now, I don't know. I'm getting in trouble every 10 minutes. Those relationships weren't true in the beginning. Were, they wouldn't have changed like that. But it's like someone who builds steam, and then all of a sudden everything comes out and all they can see is what's wrong. But when you are true to you, you know how they have, what do they call those, like side benefits, but what do they call it? Side effects. One of the great side effects of being true to you is you get to be in a relationship that feels, no matter what you're going through, because you're going to go through something at some point, feels like you guys can make it. You can make it happen in a good way that you both feel that energy that you're going to be better over it instead of worse. I think one of the hardest things to do, because the core of us is the relationships we have, whether it's with our friends, whether it's with our partners, with our kids, with our coworkers, all the whole gamut of people we run into. That nucleus, if we're not happy in our nucleus, good luck anywhere else. I know people who, and they've come to me with this, where they don't understand why they're not nice to their nucleus, especially like the people they live with underneath the roof that they live in, and they don't know why. And I realize that a lot of it is because on the outside of that nucleus, let's say they go to work and they're having trouble with their boss or a coworker or something like that's going on, the people they take it out on are the safest people to them because they feel like their family will never leave them and they can dump on them. And sometimes that works for a while, but not as an everyday thing. So then you have to go back to your family members and tell them, you know what? This wasn't fair. I've been dumping on you, or to your spouse especially. Excuse me. Call yourself out when you do things that aren't okay. Because when you do that, now you allow yourself to talk about when things aren't okay and they don't have something to do with you. It's just being fair. Fair to your soul, representing yourself. Because what you want is your best self. Because that's when you can be true to you. And your best self will also tell on you. It will say, hey, you know what? What I did wasn't very nice. That wasn't okay. You should never accept that from me. If ever I do that again, you let me know. Let me know. Because then what happens is, when something else goes on that isn't okay, you can let them know. It becomes understood that it's not okay for you to hurt others as well as to receive the hurt of others. Goes back to representing your soul. Building bridges. Building bridges. Because bridges that aren't built right, we just had one go down in Florida last week. And they knew it was compromised. They just didn't think it was critical. It ended up being critical. And it fell. And it hurt one of the people, one of the men that was working on it died. And it injured people. And the same thing happens to us emotionally. Only because we can't see it, we think it's not happening. And I don't know if any generation in our history will ever get over the fact that just because it's our emotions, it doesn't matter. We can cover it up. We're still okay. Suck it up. We have a lot of problems because of that. We have a lot of isolation, a lot of inner loneliness in a crowd because of that thinking. Can't even sleep. We have to pop a pill sometimes just to go to bed. There's a lot of unsaid business, not unfinished, unsaid, which happens before the unfinished kicks in. But if you can call yourself out on what you do that's not okay, you can also do that with your kids, with your partner, anywhere you go. My daughter has this thing where she will tell on herself. She'll tell on herself and she'll be fine with it. And I used to be really uncomfortable when she did that. And I used to think, you know, I know you're a teenager. Maybe you don't have to tell me everything. But because she did that, somewhere naturally she knew she wasn't going to hold on to anything for anybody. And at that time, it was an attitude. It was like this high school, I'm going to throw this in your face and see your reaction. And she liked kind of getting that reaction, like where I think, what the heck? And then it would make me worry and it would make me a little nervous about, you know, every time they went out or she went out and all this business. And I'd sleep with two phones in my bed, the house phone and my cell phone. And it was gruesome. But as an adult, now she's 28, I trust anything she says, from I love you to I don't feel so good, to I'm really upset that wasn't okay, Mom, because I know that she values somewhere in her the freedom she gets by not having anything to hide. And I'm not talking hide like malicious hiding. I'm just talking about not saying what you're thinking. So it just creates this space of distrust between people. Having a relationship with somebody who keeps telling you they're there, but they don't allow you in completely, you're never going to be in. And as time rolls on and you get tired of not being in, you're going to leave. A show, it was just on last night, and I purposely like had to find it and watch it again because it's on a cable program, and now I can't remember the channel, but it's about people who meet, they get married before dating or anything. It's a show, but it's like a reality TV show. So they get married, and then they figure out how to be married while they're married. And you start to see. Well, the first thing they did was they told them to give each other's cell phones. And their job was to give each other's cell phones. Do you know how hard that was for you to do that to a stranger that you're now, in quotes, married to? And one of the couples, the guy couldn't do it. He just felt like it was such an invasion of his privacy. And he left and he went and sat in the car and they brought him back and all this stuff happened. But the one couple that did it without question, and the guy who walked out who came back and said, well, here's my phone. It was really hard for me to do. Those two were the strongest couples out of the four that were there. There was one that was complaining about one thing she said over and over again, and you could see the personality, irrelevant of the person, playing itself out. So today's question is, how do you represent your soul? And then the next question is, wow, why do I do it that way? It's very, very cool. How do you represent your soul? I'm running out of time. We have Dream Theme Thursday tomorrow. Send in your dreams. I will see you then. You guys have a great Wednesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.